It's Friday, July 23rd. Lots of people are suggesting we all wear masks again, except the country's top mask experts. We start here. The CDC sticks to its guns.
You may choose to add an extra layer of protection by putting on your mask, and that's a very individual choice.
They say vaccinated people don't necessarily need to fuss with their masks everywhere, yet. Meanwhile, more employees are being told, get vaccinated or else, even millionaires.
This is throwing the book, this is throwing the bank at teams that are lax in terms of vaccinations.
A surprise blitz from the NFL has outraged hesitant players. And a president is being laid to rest. The fears of Haiti are not.
There are basically very few functioning branches of the Haitian government left.
Experts say what looks like a power-sharing agreement is still on shaky ground. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey. The magic of a vaccine is not just that it protects you. That's obviously part of it. It has the power to almost make you a little safe island in a sea of contagion. And I say almost because vaccines are not necessarily 100% effective. So if the contagion is truly all around you, there's still a risk one big wave could come splash on your island. But that is where the magic comes in. Because a vaccine also has the power to make it so the virus is not all around you, to lower the water level, if you will. And for the last couple months, that's how it's felt in highly vaccinated communities like Vermont. COVID isn't killing people there anymore. Not because vaccines are 100% effective, but because they're effective enough that COVID is no longer lurking everywhere.
We begin tonight with the coronavirus and this new summer surge, fueled, of course, by the highly contagious Delta variant.
Well, with the arrival of the Delta variant, in places where people are less vaccinated,
we're now averaging about 37,000 new cases a day for the last week.
That water level is suddenly higher once again. It's getting easier to get COVID, and the numbers are showing the toll that's taking.
Nearly half of all counties across the country now reporting high or substantial community transmission. Los Angeles County seeing a 20-fold spike in cases over the last month.
And yesterday, with more and more public figures waving red flags to the unvaccinated and people nervously dusting off their masks, an advisory panel briefed the CDC on new risks, while the head of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, briefed reporters. So let's go to ABC's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton. Dr. Jen, Los Angeles County has required masks now. Provincetown, Massachusetts has required masks. Several places in between. Does the CDC think that vaccinated Americans need to be wearing masks around strangers?
Well, Brad, as we heard, the CDC director is saying not yet. So they're not issuing any official recommendations that the mask policy should change for vaccinated individuals.
So overall, the CDC recommendations haven't changed. Fully vaccinated people are protected from severe illness.
However, let's take a step back and look at a big picture here. I think people need to understand that as we step on the gas and reopen and try to go, quote unquote, back to normal, that this virus has demonstrated the need to remain flexible and adaptable and pump the brake if we need to.
In areas that have a high amount of disease and low amounts of vaccination, that, you know, if you're unvaccinated, you should absolutely be wearing a mask. If you're vaccinated, you have exceptional levels of protection from that vaccine, and you may choose to add an extra layer of protection by putting on your mask, and that's a very individual choice.
And that may mean mask mandates come back for short periods of time in certain places, even when large segments of the population are fully vaccinated.
Right. And then there's the issue of whether you get COVID and whether you get sick from COVID. Like, those are two very different things. But just so I'm clear, like, can a vaccinated person get sick from the Delta variant? Can they transmit the Delta variant if they get it? Like, does all this calculus change even if you're vaccinated here?
Well, first of all, the CDC is looking at those cases very carefully. And I've been in touch with the CDC director personally, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, and asked her point blank, what percentage, what are the numbers of the daily cases now in the U.S. that are occurring in fully vaccinated people? They said they don't know yet. They're looking into it. That's going to be important information. But right now, what we do know is that, yes, there are these so-called breakthrough cases.
In San Antonio, the Shute family was fully vaccinated, but 4 out of 5 family members got breakthrough infections. Their symptoms mild or none at all. For that, they credit the vaccine.
I'm very thankful we got it. Thinking about how bad it could have been if we had not had this boost in our immune system. We could have ended up in the hospital.
Why is that? Partially because the Delta variant is so easily transmissible, partially because there is no such thing as a 100% effective vaccine. And even though these vaccines are holding up well, even against the Delta variant, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be hearing about breakthrough cases. Now, what you asked about, does it mean you're less likely to spread the virus, less likely to get seriously ill? It appears that that is the case.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of the vaccinated person is considerably less.
It does appear the people who are fully vaccinated, if they are infected with COVID-19,
it would be less likely that that vaccinated breakthrough person would transmit compared to an unvaccinated person.
They are less likely to spread the virus to others, and they are less likely to become seriously ill. That doesn't mean, though, 100% of the time.
The other thing that the CDC was talking about, this was at the advisory panel, they were talking about who needs booster shots, right? And the idea came up about immunocompromised people. Do we think we're going to see that soon, like a third shot for somebody whose immune system is weakened?
Well, I think we may. And this is, again, where we need to take a step back here and look at the big picture. It's not one size fits all.
Emerging data suggests that an additional COVID-19 vaccine dose in immunocompromised people may enhance antibody response in some and increases the proportion who responded.
We may be looking at different populations, different groups of people, such as those with compromised or weakened immune systems, and say, guess what? The data does suggest that a third dose may be better than 2 doses.
I urge you, beg you even, to recommend that we be able to receive a third vaccine dose and to allow doctors to make an additional dosing decision on a case-by-case basis.
The dose and the timing and whether or not that is necessary is still up in the air.
Yeah, we've actually heard immunocompromised people at this point say if boosters are not approved and approved quickly, they're just going to consider trying to cheat the system and going out and signing up for some third dose somewhere because they're scared that they are not as vaccinated as the rest of us. Dr. Jen Ashton, great information. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Next up on Start Here. So the pandemic is being driven by the unvaccinated. Well, the NFL just took that ball and ran with it. The extraordinary rule change after the break. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November. And while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the questions swirling around the country has been, how much control should employers have over whether their workers are vaccinated? After all, it's not just a personal decision. As we've heard, you're not just putting yourself at risk if you decide you don't need the shot. Companies have the right to fire someone over something like a COVID vaccine, but that doesn't mean companies want to. After all, not all employees are created equal.
There's the fake, there's the pass, and there's the catch for the touchdown!
Take the NFL. Would you really be willing to risk losing a star player over vaccinations?
Today, the NFL putting pressure on players to get vaccinated.
Well, yesterday, the National Football League took a step that no other pro sports league has so far. Let's bring in Pablo Torre, a columnist for ESPN. He's also the host of the podcast ESPN Daily. You've heard me advertise it. This is the guy. Pablo, good to have you here.
My podcast cousin, Brad. It's great to be here, man.
Thanks for being with us. So what is this new rule? Because this caused absolute shockwaves around sports yesterday.
Yeah, this is massive, Brad. It is a massive change in how the NFL has been policing this thing. And look, last season in football was chaos.
The growing COVID crisis in the NFL after more positive tests leave teams scrambling.
There were 18 different games that got postponed in one way or another.
The Baltimore Ravens now have at least 18 players on the COVID reserve roster.
One team, the Denver Broncos, doesn't even have a quarterback today.
The NFL said, we cannot risk this on top of the health risks to their players. And so there were new rules that came out yesterday. So the big takeaway is that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season coming up due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, and that is a specific thing applying to unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit. They will lose the game. They will be credited with a loss for playoff seeding. The team will also be responsible for financial losses, and they will be subject to discipline from the commissioner potentially. So this is throwing the book. This is throwing the bank at teams that are lax in terms of vaccinations.
Because I was going to say, on like forfeiting, normally, who cares, right? Like, I'm sure the Cincinnati Bengals fans care about whether the Cincinnati Bengals forfeit a game. But,
yes,
like, the world doesn't care. But this has been really been greeted with, like, this collective gasp by the whole league. Is that because of, I guess, the money issue?
Well, it's also because just this week, all 32 teams finally reached the 50% threshold of vaccinations. This has been a climb, Brad.
The Washington football team, the Indianapolis Colts, the Chargers, and the Cardinals had the four lowest COVID-19 vaccination rates.
The NFL has been very worried. How do we get these guys the shot? And they've tried all sorts of things. They've tried to bring in scientists, experts. They've brought in all sorts of people to provide expert scientific medical counsel.
I haven't been vaccinated yet.
Darnold isn't alone in choosing not to get the vaccine. A number of players have also spoken out and said they're not going to get it before the season. So
but this week, something flipped. They realized that, wait a minute, the carrot at the end of the stick for our employees is not science and reason and their own personal health and self-interest. It's wins and losses. It's the currency of the locker room. It's peer pressure.
Do you think, like, helping the team actually is a part? It's not just your money getting forfeited. Like, you think the wins and losses do matter?
Well, the money is absolutely at stake here, too. That is key. One of the key things that I want to bring up is that if the game gets canceled, neither team's players are going to receive their weekly check. That is a huge, huge deal. Neither team's players. So there's more pre-pressure on that way. But the other secondary element to what you just alluded to is that, yeah, there is an element of you are letting the team itself down. I mean, this is flipping the cliche of sports, how it's the collective over the individual, sacrificing yourself for your team. It's taking all those cliches and translating them into the language of vaccination, which to me is honestly overdue and I think the most effective strategy that I have heard across sports to date.
So does this create, like, is this going to create a culture clash in these locker rooms if you're saying that literally on some of these teams it is a 50-50 split between who's vaccinated and who's not?
Absolutely, and we're seeing that already. Star players like DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, came out, posted a tweet saying that for the first time, he thinks his NFL future is in question because of this new rule that has been passed by the NFL. He then promptly deleted that tweet to give you a sense of just how hot the seat is under these players.
If the stars aren't getting vaccinated, then the NFL's got a little bit of a problem. And so this is a bit of a glimpse. You know, this isn't Cole Beasley saying that he's not getting vaccinated. This is DeAndre Hopkins.
We had another player, Cole Beasley, the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, very proudly say earlier this year that he does not want to get the shot for all of the reasons that you hear many other people across America not get the shot.
Accusing the NFL of taking this stance to make the most money it possibly can.
But to me, Brad, like, it is a culture clash because you're going to blame in specific the unvaccinated guys because the rules are set up to put the blame on the unvaccinated guys. At every point in this legislation that has just been passed within the league, it is clear The vaccinated guys, for instance, if you do contract the virus and you're fully vaccinated, you actually can come back sooner. You get two negative tests.
Oh, that's why you said that was a big deal. Because, like, we've seen people get the Delta variant even though they're double vaxxed. You're saying you're not on the hook for that.
Exactly. Two negative tests, 24 hours apart, you're asymptomatic, you can return to play. Unvaccinated individuals, however, still subject to the mandatory 10-day isolation period, and I'll do the math here. That's right, there are 7 days in a week. There is one game every week in the NFL. That is putting your team straight out of luck, as well as, in some cases, your bank account.
Yeah, and on some level, you really think about it. I mean, it's the NFL, but it's also a labor relations issue, right? What can the workplace force you to do? And one of the players, a linebacker for the Patriots, tweeted yesterday, the NFLPA, the Players Association, bleeping sucks, in his words. So we're already seeing this tension between the players and the folks that represent them. Pablo Torre, great stuff. Thanks so much.
Always.
Later today, an assassinated leader will be laid to rest in Haiti.
Jovenel Moïse est un exemple de dignité.
It's been more than 2 weeks since President Jovenel Moïse was brazenly shot to death in his own home, and we still don't really have a clear picture of what happened. Some basic questions remain unanswered, which means in what should be a moment of national unified mourning, Haiti is a tense, uncertain place. ABC's Director of International News, Kirit Roddy, has gone back and forth between the U.S. and Haiti for much of his life. Kirit, I mean, you've been talking to people there. What is the mood like at this point?
Well, you hit it on the head there, Brad. You know, people are really nervous about what comes next.
Justice for President Nana! Justice for President Nana!
It's been a couple weeks since the assassination. There has been nothing but instability since then.
Haiti swore in its new prime minister, Ariel Henry, on Tuesday.
There was a power vacuum up until just a couple days ago with two people saying that they were the legitimate prime minister. You know, there still is no actual president. And, you know, this comes on the backs of weeks and months of protests that were often violent in Haiti. So this is affecting not just the powerful, but the very people who live, you know, day to day from, you know, very little means, who are very nervous about what this means for them. This is not just some remote abstract thing for them. This is the stability of their lives.
Well, and so can we just revisit for a quick second? What happened? Like, I get that people have been arrested. I get that they were allegedly recruited to arrest the president, and then they were apparently supposed to shoot the president. But like, they got through his insane security force? They came from Colombia? Like, how did this actually go down?
Well, actually, all of that stuff, we still don't know. I mean, 2 weeks on, there are still more questions than answers.
How can you be sure that you have the right people?
We do have the right people. They are all Colombians.
There are all of these Colombians that are now being detained. There's records of the Haitians and the Colombians say of the head of the presidential security guard going back and forth between Colombia and Haiti.
A neighbor says there was such a barrage of gunfire, it felt like an earthquake.
There are layers of security around his house. The presidential palace, of course, was destroyed during the earthquake. He's been living in his home. And yet these supposed commandos made it through and killed only him. Well, then what happened to his security? How did that happen?
Tonight, now several suspects now killed in a gun battle with police. At least six more now under arrest, including at least two Americans.
Several members of that security team are now under investigation. There are Haitian Americans now detained, allegedly involved in the plot. It almost defies logic that it was just as simple as they claim it is, that it was a this doctor who's based out of Florida who thought he would be able to install himself as prime minister. Well, how was he planning to do that?
And Sano, from what we did at our research at Miami Herald, is a guy who's basically broke. Who else is involved with this with him? Who else financing this? Who's bankrolling it?
Every time there's an explanation about what happened, it invites even more questions. Mm. And I think we're still there today.
Well, so then, as the president is buried today, I mean, what are the concerns going forward? Because like you said, there was a power vacuum, right? But there's an interim prime minister. There's another guy who said, I should be the interim prime minister. And the first guy actually kind of stood down, right? So is there now a path forward for some semblance of order?
For now, there's an uneasy truce.
We will create a secure, reliable, and stable environment to facilitate political activities throughout the country.
But there's still a question about who's going to lead this country going forward and what that's going to look like.
Muiz had been ruling by decree for over a year and was facing calls to step down.
This is a country that has been seeing protests against that assassinated president for about a year now. You know, he had dismissed the legislature. There are basically very few functioning branches of the Haitian government left. And I have to say also, Brad, you know, Haiti is a very proud country with a very, very proud history. It was the first slave revolt in the colonies. It was considered by Napoleon to be so rich he would rather sell Louisiana. But, you know, we all know the familiar problems that have dogged the country for the last, well, at least the last 100 years or so.
The country is difficult. We don't have water to bathe. We have no food to eat. We're hungry.
And, you know, those problems, the poverty, the corruption, the gang violence, all of the kidnappings that everybody fears on a day-to-day, those are the problems that are still plaguing that country. And if that instability were to last longer, the big fear is that will all get much worse for the average Haitian.
Right, exactly. And that's who this all goes back to, is politics might seem high and above us here in the States, but on an island like Haiti, they can affect you very, very quickly. Kirat Radia, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Okay, we're going to step away. When we come back, how good of an Olympic judge would you be on a scale of 1 to 10? One last thing is next.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And one last thing. You probably heard the Olympic opening ceremonies are tonight in Tokyo. And while these games have already encountered more setbacks than any in recent memory, tonight will at least be a chance to see athletes celebrating the sacrifices they've made to get here. And there will be athletes in attendance whose sports were not even recognized 4 years ago.
My knowledge of skateboarding really is from, like, playing Tony Hawk on PlayStation.
That's Tony Chow from our partners at 538, who figured as long as I'm going to be watching these sports for the first time, I might as well learn how to watch them like a pro.
So in this year at Tokyo, the new sports are going to be skateboarding, surfing, sport climbing, and karate.
Now, climbing will be relatively self-explanatory. The person who gets the highest up the wall the fastest wins. Karate will look kind of like other fighting sports. You get points for hitting the other person. You know how that works. But the others are more subjective, which makes it tough for new fans. But here's the thing, Tony. Like, when I watch diving, it all looks good to me, right? Like, I guess you can look at the splash.
No, I mean, I'm exactly in the same boat as you are. As someone who doesn't skateboard or doesn't surf, every trick I see is going to, I'm going to judge it as a 10.
It's already Liam Paces. Wow.
That kickflip grab over there.
And so Tony did what the rest of us would probably love to do. He was able to interview actual judges of these sports to ask, what should us laymen even be looking for?
Oh! Okay. Hitting that kickflip from 50 on okay. That steep old rail.
Okay. For me, as a non-skater, anytime I see somebody go into the air, it's really impressive to me.
He was up there on that.
But from the expert I spoke to Alexis Josillon, who's a French judge who's going to be at the Olympics.
You can do really amazing tricks, but every time you land them, there's a toe drag, or you put your hand on the floor, and it's not nice.
He was saying, actually, to get into the air, to propel yourself in the air, is actually not that impressive, and what actually you should be watching for, or what requires more technical skill, are doing something like a really good kickflip, or a really good ollie.
Oh, make sure he has enough speed for that transfer. He came in a little too early on that one.
You can have all these people that are doing ollies, and in the way they're popping their ollies, their back foot is not sticking to the board all the time. That's not nice.
Bottom line, don't be surprised if big isolated jumps don't get the highest scores. Meanwhile, a surfing judge told Tony it's not even just what tricks you do, but where you do them on the wave. Like, are you in a safe zone, or is the wave about to crash on your shoulders?
One of the main factors is how deep you were.
Have a look at this, guys. Pulls in quite a frothy little barrel as he comes flying through that section.
Could the judges see you the whole time, or could they see your shoulder? and how long were you disappeared for? And then
another explosive finish into the flats, but he can't hang on.
How did you come out?
Wow, that was dangerous.
And here's the X Games factor in all this. Surfers are also judged on how innovative they are, how much they're pushing the sport forward. Talk about pressure. So here's the question. After learning all this, could you decipher a good move from a bad one? Well, Tony and his team set up a way to test yourself, a series of videos with skate and surf tricks.
You score the tricks, but it also allows you to see your score compared to other readers and also compared to an actual judge who's an expert watching these tricks.
Oh, he actually rode on the wall that time instead of kind of planting up there.
The great thing is, he says, you can actually see people catching on after just a few examples. Like after the first clip, they're more apt to give a, 5 out of 10, something standard. Within a few more videos, they're given 7.2s, 9.9s. They're differentiating.
I think later on, you see a lot of respect for the tricks and how difficult they are because they are scored pretty highly.
Honestly, but I don't know how he's going to improve, and that was big. That's going to rock the top, in my opinion.
So when you see these athletes marching today, remember how much of these games will rest on a razor's edge. Judge generously. So I've been clicking around this thing. I'm now really good at watching 360 flips. Not can't do one to save my life, but just watching them, I'm good at that. Judge for yourself. That great interactive is on 538.com. Start Here is produced by David Rind, Kelly Therese, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Tara Gimbel, David Toledo, Madeline Wood, and Lauren Efron. Thanks to Liz Alessi, Eric Johnson, Lakia Brown, John Newman, Elizabeth Russo, and Stacia Deshishku. Special thanks this week to Lewis Millman, Alex Mallon, Elizabeth Schulze, Trish Turner, and Eve Tro. I'm Brad Milkey. See you Monday.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.